Hey, welcome back. Sitting in for George Norrie and about to embark on 2 hours of open lines. A city council meeting in New York took a strange turn this week when a resident who happens to be a flat earth enthusiast attempted to present his research into the controversial conspiracy theory and ultimately wound up being arrested when he wouldn't stop disrupting the gathering. The bizarre incident, which was captured on film by the man himself and can be seen in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com, reportedly occurred on Monday evening in the community of Watertown when, during an assembly of the city council, the floor was turned over to citizens who wished to share their concerns about local issues. Into the proverbial breach stepped Donnie Lee Berrigar with some thoughts about the flat earth theory, and shortly thereafter, chaos ensued. So again, you can read more of this story and see the film at 11, if you will, up at the highlight carousel at coasttocoastam.com. All right, so we spent the last 2 hours talking about strangeness in Western Kentucky. Is there a region of the United States that is even stranger than Kentucky, Western Kentucky? Would love to hear from you on this over the next 2 hours. And the other thing I thought might be fun as we're gearing up for summer and maybe some road trips. Well, maybe for you down there, we're still in lockdown up here in Ontario, but I can dream a nice road trip across America. I'm looking for some of the strangest, keeping with the strangeness theme, I'm looking for some of the strangest roadside attractions in America. Whether it's Monkey Island in Homosassa, Florida, or the Doll's Head Trail in Atlanta, Georgia, the Pineapple Garden Maze in Hawaii, the Oasis Bordello Museum in Wallace, Idaho. You tell me about some of the strangest roadside attractions in America, and perhaps you've got some, you know, local legends where you're residing, strange creatures, leviathans that inhabit some of the local lakes and rivers and so forth. Let's go there, shall we? When Open Lines begins right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. And we begin Open Lines with Tim in Carson City, Nevada, on the wild card line. Tim, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, Richard. I always look forward to when you host the show. Your variety of knowledge is astounding. I've learned so much from listening to you over the years.
Well, God bless you for that, Tim. Thank you so much for your kind words.
Yeah, I've been a part of the family since 1995 and Midnight in the Desert. I have a comment for you and a couple of quick questions.
All right.
Okay, my comment is I lived in Tacoma, Washington for 12 years, and I do believe that area is where the pilot saw the first, quote, flying saucer, and that might be the very first sighting of Sasquatch. So that area has a lot of strangeness attached to it.
Sure. Well, the Pacific Northwest.
That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely right up there with, I guess, Western Kentucky. So Kenneth Arnold was from Tacoma, did you say?
No, I lived there for 12 years around Mount
okay.
Rainier.
All right. Yes, that's where Kenneth Arnold saw, yes, the flying saucers in 47, which sort of kicked everything off, didn't it?
1947. Okay. I couldn't remember the year, but yeah. I have a couple of questions for you regarding UFOs. I'm disabled, and I skywatch. I have been for 7 years now, every night, weather allowing, and I've seen some mind-blowing things in the sky. So regarding beings from other planets, we always talk about how much more advanced they are light years ahead of us, but wouldn't the odds be just as likely or more likely that half of these civilizations might be behind us, possibly in the crawling out of the water, developing arms from fins? You know, we don't seem to ever talk about that. And I also wanted to ask you if alien aliens are more advanced and they can travel across time and space to get here, are they really inept enough to crash? I think they would have a little bit more technology than to get all the way here and then run out of oil or something, you know.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, you make some excellent points, Tim. So on the first point, yes, assuming that we're not alone in the universe, it would stand to reason that you would have all different levels of, you know, development. You would have primordial, you would have primitive, you would have civilizations perhaps at our level, and then you would have highly advanced civilizations. Now, you know, this idea that they would have, that they would be hundreds of thousands or millions of years more advanced, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, look where we're at right now. I don't think, you know, we're allowed to see or experience much of the technology that we probably have at our disposal. You know, these are, as former head of Skunk Works said, you know, there are things hiding out in the desert in a hangar someplace that are 50 years beyond our wildest dreams. And if you've seen it on Star Trek or Star Wars, mm-hmm. we've been there and we've done that. So, you know, they might only have to be 100 years ahead of us or even less. So that's a distinct possibility. Now, what was the second question? Oh, yes. If, in fact, they have this type of technology that they could fly light years at subliminal speed. It would seem odd that they would, when they get here, that they would be vulnerable to, let's say, to a lightning strike, and then they would crash in the desert near Roswell. That's an interesting point. I mean, I don't really know how to answer that.
It's just a common sense question I've always wanted to ask somebody like you.
Well, Tim, stop making sense.
Well, God bless you, and I enjoy it when you host.
Tim, thank you so much for calling in. Great questions. All right, be well, my friend. Let's see. Let's say hi to Jeff in Rochester, New York. Hey, Jeff, welcome. Good morning.
Hey, Richard. How's it going, man?
Not bad, my friend.
It's a great honor, and I've been a long-time listener. I'm a first-time caller right now.
Hey, welcome.
Man, just this is really cool. But, yeah, you know, I just kind of wanted to say that, getting back to, you know, it seems like so many of these, you know, those Kentucky asylums, there's so many asylums throughout the country that, you know, have all these, you know, horrible historic, you know, things that have happened. I just honestly just think that, you know, so much of this world and country, the elite have roots in, you know, Luciferianism, Satanism. And it's still, to me, you know, seems kind of apparent now. I mean, still. So, you know, I mean, just some kind of wish some people, you know, people in the world would just kind of look at things like that from that angle instead of, you know, Democrat versus Republican, black versus white, blah, blah, blah. Just like, you know, who's kind of all in on this, you know, angle? Yeah, just, it's really sick. Sorry, I apologize. I'm a little nervous, but yeah, I mean, I've experienced my fair share of stuff in my life, man. I've seen some things, man. And I don't know, man.
I think your point is well taken. I think if I'm understanding you correctly, yeah, we tend to look at things in a very superficial manner in terms of, you know, left, right, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, and we tend to think that this is what divides us, or these are the delineations that separate us. But in fact, I mean, those are very superficial, mainly because I think we give up too much space, emotional space to politics, and I don't want to talk about politics tonight.
No, I know you don't like to talk politics. Actually, I knew that too, but
yeah. But the point I think you were making is that what really separates us is good and evil, and you know most of us
hope, everything is love, man. Everything is love. Everything is connected. Everything is love.
That's all you need. Love, that's right. Love, the Beatles energy, were right. Light, love is all you need.
And that's all there, really, honestly, that's all there is. But then there's obviously the lower vibration. I mean, I personally believe that, you know, when Luciferians, I believe, you know, our DNA has been tampered with, all right? And I believe when these people do these, you know, sacrifices and consume the adrenochrome, I believe that fires open your quote-unquote dead, inactive state of DNA to where they can actually, where we shall be living. But, of course, our DNA has been tampered with, so we don't have our full potential as human beings on this planet, which makes us more easily accessible avatars for these dark spirits to come in and take, you know, kind of ride around for a while. And obviously some of the people that quote unquote sell their soul to the devil, they allow that to happen and, you know, ride the riches, you know, success stories. I mean, there's been a lot of, I mean, major musicians and, you know, talk about actually doing that. So it's just, I mean, it's sad because, you know, people should be thankful just to be here. Be thankful for here now. Not get greedy. Understand that everything is love. I mean, that's really all there is in life, man. I mean, the, you know, the force, the energy that connects every freaking living cell and every little entire universe. I mean, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. One time I had a kind of a scary episode where I had out-of-body experiences, having a drug episode, but I still remember everything totally clearly, you know, take that for what it's worth. But anyway, so I was outside of the universe, and my body was in the van with my friends. But anyway, so I was outside, and I remember thinking to myself, yeah, I really wasn't too scared. You know, one thing I've never been too scared to have experiences, you know. That's why I think things have happened to me, because I'm not too scared. I know how to keep my ego in check and just go with the ride. So anyways, I remember thinking to myself, traveling through the universe. I can still picture in my mind right now as I'm looking up the stars right now. I remember thinking, well, we're all one. Everything is one. And then as soon as I thought that, just like the stars all kind of fell upon themselves, like almost like a diorama where you pull it back and everything kind of collects into itself. And right. Then everything just became just a giant, or just a DNA helix. And I fell back into my body. And that was just an experience I'll never forget. And that was really cool. And
I'll say, yeah, my word. I mean, people live an entire lifetime hoping to experience something of that magnitude and don't. And it sounds like, you know, you just kind of took it in stride. That's very courageous of you. I mean, I don't know how I would react if I had an out of body experience. Especially, you know, if it's not tied to an NDE, a near death experience, where there wasn't anything that traumatic that happened to you, you just spontaneously came out of your body. Well, did you say that there may have been some recreational pharmaceuticals involved?
I'm sorry. I've had a couple experiences. No, that wasn't my NDE. That was a different episode where actually I was face-to-face with some grays, and they helped me. So that was, I mean, like I say, take it for what it's worth, you know, but trust me, man, I can still remember all this, and I can give you details. And like I say, man, I've been listening to the show a long time. This is a great honor. And maybe I'll try to hit you back up sometime. I got stories for days, man.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you got a lot of great stories, Jeff. Please call back sometime, and I'd love to hear about your encounter with the Grays. We'll do that. We'll do that the next time, though, because it sounds like you've got enough stories to fill an entire show. Jeff in Rochester, New York. Thank you for that. Let's say hi to Andrew's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. So I'm 20 years old, just turned 20, and I'm actually a first-time caller tonight.
Hey, welcome. Great to have you aboard.
So I just wanted to – it's weird because as soon as I turned on the radio, I heard you guys talking about Western Kentucky and the supernatural. And I thought, man, I've had some pretty crazy experiences with some friends running around, you know, back roads and stuff. And I wanted to touch a little bit on that. And a little bit on some other things that are known here in Kentucky. So as for myself personally, I'm very in touch with, you know, the spiritual realm. I don't dabble into, you know, like any magic or anything, but I just mean, you know, just being, I'm just a spiritual person and I pick up on vibrations, good or bad, or, you know, I'm very intuitive. So just a quick little story. Some friends and I, April 5th, 2020, you know, just running through the back roads, exploring, just being dumb kids, you know, we as a group, had always experienced bad things on this road called Duncan Road for some odd reasons. It was just always eerie, and just weird things would happen. So the weirdest thing is that we had never heard of this road before. So basically, we had never heard of Duncan Road before. And once we were down there, it feeds into this little creek. And the moon was high, full moon, clear skies, dead silence of the country here in Kentucky. We just get the eeriest feeling. We see clothes are tattered and torn and thrown everywhere. So we just get the urge to leave. And these are in the back roads where I'm sort of familiar with. I have relatives that are buried in a nearby gravesite. I just got the most random urge to just go and visit the gravesite. Like I said, this was April 5th, 2020. We go there, and I see my uncle's grave. And I didn't know this because he passed away shortly after I was born. But he passed away He was born April 5th, 1920. So this was very weird.
On the very day you had this urge to go visit a grave...
Yeah.
And it was the very day that he was born.
Yes.
100 years to the day.
Exactly. That's probably one of the most, I'm not trying to say coincidental, but just the weirdest things. And like this Duncan Road thing, we have this inside joke about Duncan Road, like don't go to Duncan Road. And we'd always go around this time, 2 or 3 a.m. Yeah, that's, you know, I pick up on stuff like that, and I think that this stuff happens to me for a reason.
And what do you think that reason is?
I believe that I have a calling in this life. I'm 20 years old, so I was born in 01. I've never felt like I've fit in or accustomed to, you know, the kids of my era. I feel like I'm an old soul, and I know everybody says that. It's a very cliche term, but... you know, I'm doing a lot of things that a lot of older people would be doing, you know, business and this, that, and the other, but that's on another subject. It's just, yeah, I just never felt like I was part of my generation. And I pick up on the weirdest things that other kids don't. And I feel like this is another topic also, but I'm trying to bring it all in, is that I feel like I pick up on a lot more than these kids nowadays do. They're all glued to their phones. You know, have absolutely no regard for anything else going on in the world or in front of their faces. And I feel like I just pick up on a lot more. Does that make sense?
Well, good for you, Andrew. Yeah. Then, you know, this idea of fitting in. Yeah. Overrated. Don't fit in. Don't go with the flow, my friend. And it sounds like you're traveling that path. Great meeting you, Andrew. And I'm glad you got through your first time calling in, and I hope to hear from you again.
All right. Thank you. Sorry it took up so much time. I've never been on.
Oh, No. It was all time well spent, my friend. Thank you so much, Andrew, in Bowling Green, Kentucky. All right. I actually listened to Coast on the Bowling Green affiliate on the phone. Because we can't get it up here anywhere else. All right, here is Billy Strings taking us into the break. And Bound to Ride, the Michigan-born artist, now lives in Nashville. Grammy Award winner, covers this Pete Rowan song, Bound to Ride. Back with more. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Hundreds of people lined up outside an abandoned gas station in California for the chance to get up close and personal with a rare plant known as a corpse flower. Ew. The corpse flower, scientifically known as Amorphophallus titanum, belongs to gardener Solomon Leva, who brought his plant to the old Art Deco gas station in Alameda to share it with the community. The plant, which only blooms once every several years, is known as the corpse flower due to the pungent odor it releases while blooming. I think I'll take a pass. All right. I hope you can check out Coast to Coast AM tonight, Saturday night into Sunday morning. In the first half, I'll welcome Bob Guccione Jr., publisher of Spin, Gear, and most recently, Wonderlust magazine. He'll join me to discuss his life in publishing, maybe a little bit about his father, the late Bob Guccione Sr., of course, publisher of Penthouse magazine. Bob Jr. will talk about why he thinks Rolling Stone magazine is on the wrong track when it comes to their new $2,000 per year thought leadership platform. That's in hour one. And in hours two, three, and four, author and TV host Derek Gilbert will be here talking giants, pagan gods, and dragons in his look at the end of days, drawing on the worldview of the prophets and apostles. That's tonight into Sunday morning on Coast to Coast AM with yours truly. All right, back to more open lines. Love to hear about some strange roadside attractions when Coast to Coast AM continues. All right, let's get Hollywood in here. He's trucking in California. Love the truckers. Hey, Hollywood, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Richard?
Not much, hey, just sitting around talking to some folks. How are you?
I am doing outstanding. Hey, I can't believe I got through my first time ever calling.
Welcome.
Sounds like the night for that.
Yeah, we got a lot of first-time callers tonight.
Yeah, anyway, okay, so first time, let's see, an awesome roadside attraction. Baker, California, got a little alien jerky place. It's pretty neat. Fun for the family to sell a lot of beef jerky and little stuff like that in there. It's pretty cool. I'm just glad I'd share that.
Did you say alien jerky? Alien jerky?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, yeah.
All right. They're not making jerky out of aliens, are they?
You know, I couldn't tell you. But the last time I drove by, they had a burger joint they were setting up and a hotel they were setting up. And all UFO themed is pretty neat.
Wonderful. That's in Bakersfield.
Baker, between Vegas and Los Angeles.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
Yeah, pretty cool. Anyway, the reason I was calling is you have your guest on. And it was the first time I've ever heard anybody say they had seen a craft that was apparently transparent, and you could see the stars through it. About 4 years ago, I believe it was actually 5 years ago now, Fred, 2015, or 6 years ago even, 2015, I saw one. Me and my oldest son, we were doing some gaming. I took a break. I went to step outside, and I look up. And about, I had to guess, around 2,000 feet in the air, there's about a 300-yard craft that it was triangular shaped, but I could barely see it. I could see the stars clean through it, or maybe it was a cloaking, I couldn't tell you. But I tried to get my son to come out and look at the thing, and he thought I was crazy. He wouldn't. Whatever, Dad, whatever. But, you know, and I've been listening to Coast Coast now for, gosh, I don't know, since 97, 95, 97, somewhere in that way. And I have never heard nobody say that before. And so when I heard him say they saw a craft like that, I was like, I have to call.
Right. No, that's that is rare as far as I can tell. Well, seeing a UFO is pretty rare, but seeing one like that, I'd not heard of that either. So how do you, if you can see through it, how do you know that there's something there? How does it reveal itself to you then if it's transparent?
Well, that's the thing, is that I could see the shape of it. I couldn't, it was, like I said, it was triangular. You could see the shape of it. And it was more like it was a projection of the sky behind it on the underneath of it, if that makes any sense.
Right, right. So yeah, as you say, some sort of a cloaking device.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was transparent. It just appeared to be transparent, or something to that effect. It was just cool, quite interesting to look at. And you know, I've seen a couple different odd things throughout my life, but that one, when I heard him say that, I was like, man, I have to call.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I really appreciate you guys taking my call on the first night. That was pretty rad.
All right, Hollywood. Will you drive safely? And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope. Love the truckers. All right. East of the Rockies, and John is in upstate New York. Hey, John, good morning. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Richard. Nice show.
Thank you.
I know how your last caller felt because I was coming home one morning out of work, 3 o'clock in the morning. It was in February 1976, and the sky was absolutely beautiful. The stars were all out. It was a crystal clear night, and while I'm walking down, I caught something on the right side of my eye coming from the western sky. It was about the size of a golf ball, a white golf ball. But it came so fast, and it over the top of me, I don't even think it was a half a mile high. There was a great big white ball. It just stood over the top of me. It was like a platinum color. It didn't sparkle or shine or anything in that, you know, in that way. And it was there for about 2 or 3 seconds, and it took off and went back from where it came from. I don't even think it was a microsecond. It was disappeared. And I went home, and I told my wife when I got into the house, and she thought I was drinking or drunk or something, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, nobody wants, and I told a couple of other people afterwards, and, of course, you know, they look at you like you're nuts, but that was my experience with I don't know, I can't say it was a UFO. It was a huge ball.
Well, it was a UFO because it was flying, it was an object, and you couldn't identify it. So that's all a UFO is.
Well, it was uncanny. But, you know, you were talking about roadside experiences.
Yeah, roadside attractions.
Yeah, well, I was 16 years old, and this was 1953, and I just got my license, and I was driving. This was in July. It was during the day, and I had a 1941 Chevy Coupe convertible. And I'm driving towards Little Falls, New York. Now, I'm going west, and if anybody knows that road on Route 5, they know there's nothing but it's all cliff on the south side of the road. It's just a cliff. And I seen there was nobody as I was driving into Little Falls. When I got there, I turned around to come back. And while I'm coming back going east again, there was a man standing there. I couldn't figure out where did this guy come from. I didn't see him coming down. There was no way he could have got on the highway. And he looked like a hobo. So I went by him, and then something told me to stop. And I backed up, and I told him to get into the car. And I says, I asked him where he was going, and he just pointed east. He didn't say anything. He never said a word. So I took him home. While I was driving home, it was only a 10-mile trip, I asked him, I says, did you eat today? I said, and he just shook his head no. Well, I took him home. I took him to my house, and we just made chicken there. My mother made chicken that day, and we had chicken. I fed him, and I asked him if he had a few dollars and everything, you know, and then a couple of dollars was a lot of money at that time.
Sure.
Anyway, he got up from the table. And he had tears in his eyes, and he looked at me, and he says, "God bless you." And I says, 16 years old, what did I know, right? I says, "Well, thanks, you know." So I asked him, I says, "Well, where are you going anyway?" He says, "He's going towards Boston." I says, "Well, I know a nice place where you can hitchhike from the village." I says, us kids used to hitchhike back and forth. Well, we got in the car. I drove him up to this point where to get out. He got out of the car. He shut the door. He was about 10 feet away from the car. I went to back the car up into a little driveway just across the street. I turned around. He disappeared. He was nowhere in sight. I could see up and down the village. You could see for a mile either way, and he was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
An angel? John, do you think he was an angel?
Yeah, so, yep, because I'll tell you something. I've been blessed all my life. You have no idea the blessings I've had, you know. I believe it was an angel, you know.
Well, that's the lesson, right? Always be kind to strangers because...
Yeah, yeah. You don't know who you're running into. And I had no idea where this man came from. I have no idea. There was no possible way he could have climbed that cliff to get on the road, you know.
John, that's a remarkable story. Two remarkable stories. Thank you so much, John, in upstate New York. Let's see. Where are we going next? We're going to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Larry's on the wild card line. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Richard. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, sir.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to ask you a question, something I pondered with regard to UFOs and lights on UFOs. I've always wondered, why would they have lights? I mean, lights are used on aircraft for notification purposes. You know what I'm saying, too.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's an excellent question. You know, are they signals? Do they need to signal when they turn left at Saturn? I don't. Yeah. Why do they need lights? You know, great question.
Avoid, you know, other aircraft with no problem. I mean, there's like, here we are. We have lights, which are things we for notification of aircraft. You know what I'm saying?
I do. It's a great question. It's a great question.
Yeah,
and I do not have an answer for you, unfortunately.
Seems to have an answer for that question.
No, you know, oftentimes the questions are far more interesting than the answers.
Yeah. It's something to think about, though, you know, with what
Indeed.
We have to deal with. Anyway,
Indeed.
That's all I have. I don't have anything as far as roadside attractions. I haven't run across anything weird in that regard, or strange, or paranormal.
All right. Well, you keep driving, and maybe you'll arrive someplace that's a strange roadside attraction. All right. Well, great talking to you. Thank you so much, Larry. Let's see. Who do we have next? We're going back to Kentucky, Western Kentucky, no less. Maybe it's the Pennyroyal Plateau. David on the wild card line. Welcome. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Mr. Sarah?
Mr. Sarrett's all right, thank you. Mr. Sarrett's my father. You can call me Richard.
Okay, Richard, how about Dick? Is that all right? Hey, Dick, I'm going to say two callers back. That gentleman is the last of a dying breed. God bless him for sure. But pretty much if you're on I-24 going east or west, and you can just get off and hit the business loop, here in town, Paducah, Kentucky, that borders Livingston. And
okay.
You can pretty much have a roadside trip anywhere you go. It's got the footprint of a revitalized downtown, you know. But I was wanting to kind of tell you about my great-grandfather back in about the early 60s. We live close to a nuclear plant. Are you familiar with one of the nuclear plants, like the Brother Plant Oak Ridge?
The Oak Ridge.
Well, it's a nuclear plant that during the atomic boom, it was the brother or sister plant to the Oak Ridge. It's in Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyhow,
no, I'm not familiar with the one in Paducah, but
that. And,
okay.
And you know, you never know when your family's telling you pulling your leg to keep you close to the house when you're young, and then whether you see something with your own eyes.
David, unfortunately, your phone is kind of going in and out. I can't catch every word.
How about that, Richard?
Okay, well, I'll keep talking, and I'll tell you.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it quick. Anyway, about what the gentleman from Kentucky was talking about and what the show talks about, I could pretty much elaborate on any of that. But I was going to say you could just get off I-24, exit 3, or exit 11 and take the business loop, and there's lots of sides.
Yeah, I got all that part. But you were talking about...
Go ahead. Well, what I was referencing is my grandfather, you know, great-grandfather.
Right.
You never knew when they were pulling your leg to keep you close to the house so you wouldn't get too far and get astray or lost or whatnot.
Right. Well, what story were they telling you? What story were they telling you to keep you close to home?
Miss Bogus carried a lantern, you know, a few blocks away from great-grandfather's house, and And you don't go down there because if you see Miss Bogus, she'll stare at you and she'll disappear. And, you know, I was 13 before I realized the definition of bogus. Miss Bogus was bogus, you know. It was one of the stories that he was pulling our leg. And he was the great-grandfather. He was like 93 when he passed away in 1993, or 94, I'm sorry. But I was going to speak on material, maybe like weather balloon related. We're close to a nuclear plant, so you never know what, back during the atomic boom age, what they was telling you to keep you away from certain areas, especially the Livingston County. There's lots of stories, you know, that they hauled the, you know, like the plutonium, the, you know,
right,
like spill stuff up there and put it in some of the people's properties and stuff like that. But, you know, but my grandfather was outside with a shotgun. This was told from my dad because some weather balloon material came down. And I heard the weather balloon story, but my grandfather that raised me, not my great-grandfather, he always would squeeze a bag and let it unravel and say there was a ghost in it. Well, when I got to be an adult, he told the story about my great-grandfather having the shotgun and coming out because some weather balloon material came down, and somebody did actually come and retrieve it, and I don't know where they were from. It was from the Civil Air Patrol next to our airport or whatnot. But the material, you could ball it up or ravel it up, and it would just unfold and stretch back out perfect.
Right. Memory foil, like in Roswell.
Yeah, and I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting, being my great-grandfather, and it was probably the early 60s. And so that was, you know, that's interesting. But, you know, the Black Cats, I've been up through LBL and Land Between the Lakes. And I've seen black cat before. You see a lot of bobcats or wildcats that look like the Kentucky wildcat.
Right, but, right.
You'll see black cats, and there's some deep holes up in Livingston County. So you don't want to go up through there not knowing what you're doing or where you're going or who you're going to see.
I'll bet. David, I got to run here because we're up against the clock here, running up against the top of the hour, and we're going to step away for a few moments and come back and do some more open lines. But thank you so much for checking in from Western Kentucky, David. It was great to hear from you. Great to hear from all of you, and I hope to hear from more of you on the other side when we continue with open lines, back with more on Coast to Coast AM.